The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in Florida. Hurricane Ian looks like it has had a lot of devastating effects already, and I've seen a couple of videos where people are literally swimming in their own homes. And, you know, I think that this is a very unfortunate situation. You know, we have to pray for the people who are there, be willing to support people who are there and organizations that are doing outreach. Also, Carl Jackson lives in Florida, and I think him and his family are attempting to take cover. And so we have to pray for Carl Jackson. I think he's doing okay. I'll try to text him at some point during the show, but this is very, very unfortunate. I don't know. When I say unfortunate, let me not say unfortunate, because it's nature. It's Mother Nature at work. I mean, these things occur. Hurricanes happen. It's nothing that you can do about it. And I know that these people who are out here that are complete nut jobs are saying it's climate change and global warming. And that's the reason why hurricanes are more powerful than they've ever been. And you know, they want to fear, put people in a position of fear and create a narrative instead of just focusing on protecting the people who are having to go through this particular dramatic situation. According to an article by the Daily Wire, it says tens of thousands of South Florida residents under mandatory evacuation. They're packing up and hitting the interstate on Tuesday as the hurricane, or it was actually yesterday, as the hurricane was going to hit the coastline. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure if I have some of the show syndicated in South Florida, but if you are listening, we are praying for you. Because, you know, I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm not God. You know, I don't know why these natural disasters occur, and I would love to say I'm going to pray for you and everything's going to be all right. I do believe that the majority of the people are going to make it through it. But unfortunately, if it gets to the peak energy that it can, there could be some people that lose their lives. And that's unfortunate. And then I read a little bit of this article. It says, with water pouring over the seawall in Key West, high winds gust at about 70 miles per hour. And you can see on some videos, rows of cars are just piling up, and there's a lot of controversy going on. But one of the things that I'm disgusted about is that people are trying to blame Ron DeSantis, as if Ron DeSantis' conservatism is causing a hurricane to come to South Florida. And I think this is not the time to be a lame and try to blame your political opponent. This is a time that we should be uniting as a country to try to be, you know, in support of people who are in Florida dealing with this. It's no different than when the tornadoes come through Texas. When things like this occur, we should be in a prime position to support our brothers and sisters, no matter what political party that they're in. And I think that it's absolutely disgusting that people are trying to make Ron DeSantis out to be problematic or a bad person because of political expediency. You know, there was a reporter in a press conference with DeSantis, and he had hurled out this idea that DeSantis isn't taking it serious enough, and DeSantis literally go through and rip him a new one and explain very vividly how the state of Florida and Ron DeSantis is working vigorously to make sure everybody's safe and everything is going, you know, according to the plan in which they can best administer for this type of a situation. But, you know, it's just crazy to me that politicians are doing this. And it's only the leftist politicians that are pushing that somehow natural disasters are tied to a political party. I mean, I just don't get the whole climate change thing. And, you know, if you ask me, this is an agenda that's being pushed. It's not because they really care about climate change. They go through the G3, what do they call it, the G3 summit, whatever, G6 summit. I don't even know what it's called. And they're showing up there flying on private jets. These fools talking about climate change, and they're in a private jet flying to, I would say Mar-a-Lago. That'd be where Trump at. G7 summit. And they're flying on private jets to Martha's Vineyard and stuff. But climate change. Many of them have got a V12 Mercedes, and they parked in their garage, eating up gas like it's going out of style. But climate change. It's like these people are lying. Obama got a house in Martha's Vineyard. Technically, if climate were to change, that house going to be underwater before you know it. Oh, but they know that it's not going to be underwater. That's why they bought it. And that's why the insurance probably give them, homeowners insurance coverage on a house like that on the water. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because they know the water is not going to rise and do what the Democrats are claiming that it's going to do. I think we could have a conversation about climate change and all of this at a reasonable pace. Why can't, as a country, we say, yeah, there are some issues that could occur with climate. What are our solutions to the problem that we can do in a reasonable and equitable way than to just be Nazis? I mean, literally saying we're going to ban the production of gas vehicles. It's like, what are y'all even doing? Just make competitive electric cars, and the people are going to, you know, pursue what they believe is best for the environment. When you start making people and forcing people is when things go south. And the same thing you can say about every single aspect of what the left in our country is pushing. You can't just let people who are gay and trans just be themselves. You can't just let them live, because they want to force you to not only just let them live, but you got to adopt what they're doing and love them. And you can never say anything bad or be critical about the mental illness that's going on in the abuse of children. Oh, if you are, you're a homophobic, sexophobic, or whatever they want to call it. Transphobic, xenophobic. They'll come out with any phobic, a phobia, in order to try to shun your speech. But they always go to the extreme. You can have a legit conversation about abortion in this country. I think it all should be banned and illegal. But at the same time, if you're going to make an argument, can you at least acknowledge that it's murder? At least I want to give you that point. Just say it's murder, and you're okay with murdering people. Same thing with putting somebody in an electric chair or giving a lethal injection. Yeah, we're murdering somebody. But we're okay with capital punishment. Nobody's on the right side or any other side trying to lie to you and say that's not what you see it as. Oh, no, we're just putting them to sleep. No, we're killing these people. When you're on death row, you're getting put to death. And people often say, well, why are you cool with, you know, people being placed on death row, but you not okay with babies getting killed in the womb? Well, let me tell you something. You don't get on death row because your mama and daddy decide to smash in the bedroom upstairs. You don't end up on death row like that. You end up on death row if you commit crimes or you kill somebody. As a baby, you don't have a choice. You didn't choose to be born. You didn't choose who your parents were. So we have to protect the unborn. They don't have a choice in this. And they deserve to have access to life just like anybody else. Now, all we have to do is just be honest about our affairs. And I'll respect the left a lot more if they would just be honest. And, you know, we'll see how this goes, man. I hope that people are, you know, prepared in Florida and they get through this. But the sad thing is that on the other side of all of this, they're going to be blaming DeSantis because of political expediency. Now, one conversation I was having with my wife earlier, going back to Florida and DeSantis, is, you know, I would like to know from you guys as well, is where do we see the run for president? You know, I don't know if DeSantis is going to run this year, you know, because you got, you know, Trump is out there campaigning. But I wonder, is the FBI and the government going to get something to stick on Trump? And then we're not going to have him, you know, have access to Trump. We got to pick somebody else. So I would love to know. I wish I could do a survey. Matter of fact, let's put up a survey on a YouTube channel. Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump, who do you think will win in 2024? Now, I believe Trump will win. I also did this poll before, and so I want to do it now to see how far people have come. So anyway, we'll put it on YouTube. My YouTube channel is The Officer Tatum. The Officer Tatum. We'll put the survey out. Go and participate in the survey on YouTube, whether DeSantis or Trump, so we can see if the gap has been narrowed. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is The Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
You have heard and seen most of the truth behind the events of January 6th. And now you can visit Washington, D.C. on September the 24th and join J6 Solidarity in their peaceful and patriotic event that will expose the entire truth of January 6th at our nation's capital and not just what the mainstream media has lied about. Join J6 Solidarity and their well-known guest speakers to discuss the wrongful arrest and incarceration of all the Jan 6 patriots. Hear what speakers like Salem Media's Dinesh D'Souza, Newsmax's Johnny Tobacco, Joe Altman, the host of the Conservative Daily Podcast, and Professor David Clements, and many more have to say. This peaceful event will take place on September the 24th in Washington, D.C., next to the Federal District Court. For all the details, go to our new website, the letter J, the number 6, solid.com. That's J6Solid.com. Don't have your head in the sand. Learn the truth. Go to J6Solid.com now. Thank you for your time, your patriotic loyalty, and as always, God bless America.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's so infused that they can't even be respectful to people on the Border Patrol because they're riddled with propaganda. So one of my good friends, Art DeQuito, sorry, maybe should I say his name right, Art DeQuito, one of my good friends, he's the vice president of the National Border Patrol Council, and he was in contact with the Border Patrol agents, and he had some intimate experience there at the coffee shop, and I wanted him to come on the show to kind of tell you guys what exactly happened at the coffee shop and, you know, kind of what's going on here moving forward. So, Art, welcome to the Austin Tatum Show.
Hey, man, thank you for having me on, brother.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right, so I know you went down there today, and they were shut down because they said that there were some equipment issues. But can you tell my audience exactly what happened? Like, how from the start to finish, when the two Border Patrol, or I think it was three Border Patrol agents, went into the coffee shop to get coffee. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, so I got the call yesterday, obviously, because you know, I'm one of the union representatives out here, and I'm a national rep. They called me just saying their experience. They said, hey, look, we were just looking for a place to grab a cup of coffee. We stopped in. Two of them were in uniform. There was three there. Two of them were in uniform. The female agents were in uniform. They went in there. They were in line waiting. When it came to their turn, the barista told them, hey, we don't serve you guys here. We don't serve you. We're not going to serve Border Patrol. They were in shock because there was other customers there. And what I'm being told is the other customers kind of looked at her, at the barista, going like, what the heck is going on? And the agent said, are you serious? And they're like, yeah, we don't serve you here. We're not going to serve. We don't serve Border Patrol. And so they went to go out. I mean, they were going to leave. They're not going to sit there and argue with them, right? You don't want to serve them. You don't want to serve them. And then they said, you can go get your coffee from Trump. So they left, and they called me immediately, it's a minute to register, I guess. And they said, look, this is, we weren't doing anything. We're just asking for a cup of coffee. And it's two Hispanic female agents. It's don't even know if they voted for President Trump. I mean, obviously, right. I mean, it had nothing to do with Trump.
Right. Trump ain't even a president anymore. You know, he's not even a president. I mean, and Joe Biden is the president. Like,
it's crazy to even hear that. I put something up on my Instagram page, you know, because it was upsetting. And I guess they had a huge number of individuals that were calling them and you know, say, hey, what's the deal, or posting on their pages. And you know what? Look, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, my point is not to have any harm come to these people. I don't want any harm to come to anyone. It's just to expose them and you know, and be honest. Like, if you don't want Border Patrol or law enforcement, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Just say, hey, you know, we don't want law enforcement at our place of business. And law enforcement, I'm sure, has no problem not going there. There's plenty of other places to go to. But don't have them show up and then try to embarrass people or ridicule them. And then when you do post some type of apology, get rid of the apology. I did go down there today just, you know, to make it. I was in the area. I wanted to post a video of where the place was. They were closed. Somebody did answer the door, and I told them, hey, look, I didn't even knock on the door. I just, hey, you're closed. That's fine. I said, I'm just here to make a real quick video of the area that refused service to Border Patrol agents yesterday. And he just said, yeah. You know, he acknowledged it. And I said, all right, well, you know, have a good day. And I just left. I mean, I wasn't there. I'm not there to cause any issues or any problems. I just want people in law enforcement to know, hey, this place doesn't want you there. Stay away. Avoid yourself being embarrassed. Avoid any confrontation or any issues from anyone there that may not like law enforcement. And find another place to go drink or grab a cup of coffee.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Art DeQueto, one of my good friends, Vice President of the National Border Patrol Council. Art, I think you're very generous. You're very a good man. I want their whole business to burn to the ground, but I don't want anybody to do it. I don't want anybody to cause harm to them. I'm just saying, if lightning were to strike, I don't mind it striking their building. I think that there is so reprehensible. I liken a person refusing Border Patrol service as a person refusing black people service. If you are so cowardice that you are going to look at a person and judge them because of the uniform that they have on or the color of their skin, you should not be doing business. And now I'll say it like this. We live in America. It's a free market. I want everybody to know how trashy this particular place is, so that if you ever thought about going, you won't go, because this is what they represent. And I like the fact that you have been very, you know, calm and cool and collected about it. I think that, you know, and I agree with you when you say that, just be transparent. You know, don't go put out a fake apology. They put out an apology, right? And then on social media, and then they deleted it once they got backlash from the liberals.
Yeah, they got a little backlash from the apology themselves. But look, you know me, man. And you know, we've met, we've talked many times before. You know, I consider you my friend. I get it. There's people that are misinformed. You know, there's people that are just misinformed. They're idiotic. They don't think things through. And there's definitely consequences. And I think the consequence comes in people boycotting and people not going to their business. You know. I wish them nothing but the best. God bless them. Do what you got to do, but be transparent. If you don't want law enforcement, just say it. You know, we don't like your kind, and we don't want law enforcement there. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I love it. And while we're on the subject of Border Patrol, and I know that you are on the Border Patrol Council, can you just speak a little bit about the condition of Border Patrol? Because we know that the border under this particular administration, they are not, you know, a big fan of actually securing the border and doing what's right to protect the citizens on this side. Can you just speak a little bit about the condition of Border Patrol agents in the southern border in Arizona?
Look, this has a lot to do with, and this adds to it. Look, the morale is the lowest I've ever seen it, and that's just because we have an administration that pretty much has not really backed up the agents right now. They're out there, you know, putting their lives on the line each and every day. It is chaotic. We have so many individuals coming from so many different countries. But I think more so the issues, especially that are targeting Arizona, is the amount of drugs that are coming into the United States. You have so many individuals that are smuggling fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, methamphetamines. And the drug cartels, they know what they're doing. They know that they can saturate one area with illegal human trafficking. That will send agents there, will distract them, and it gives them the opportunity to see other gaps where they can bring drugs across the border. And it's something that's happening constantly each and every day. So it's a very frustrating time for agents. I think it's a very frustrating time for law enforcement across the United States. And people just, that's why this incident at a coffee shop is just, to me, it's bothersome, because I don't know who the girl was that refused them service. You know, I don't know where the business stands on this. I mean, it doesn't add up. It's just, people right. are just going to ask for a cup of coffee, and you have agents out there risking their lives rescuing people that are coming right. across the border. This is the largest humanitarian organization in the country. And, you know, I see it Art. So many times where they give their own food for the individuals across right. the border. And here Art. We go, they can't even get a cup of coffee.
All right. I'm running out of time. Y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, investor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet sets is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all on sale. For example, the queen sizes are regularly priced at $89.98, but now they're only $39.98 with our listeners' promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and also a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There are a limited supply, so make sure that you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com for your exclusive offer on the Percale sheets.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to bring back my guest, Art DeQueto. He is the Vice President of the National Border Patrol Council. We were talking a little bit about the cafe in Tucson. XO, what is it? XO? XO? Right. Yeah, XO in Tucson, about how they refuse Border Patrol agents coffee, but then we transitioned to talking more about the condition of what's going on the border with Border Patrol agents and the influx of drugs coming into our country. I want to continue that conversation. Can you talk to us more about this influx of fentanyl? Because people are now making fentanyl look like candy, and it just seems like it's one of the drug of choices to bring over into our country. Can you talk about a little bit about what Border Patrol is seeing when it comes to the influx of fentanyl?
No, definitely. I mean, it's crazy the amount that's coming across. And a lot of it is because of the fact that agents are getting put in other positions, administrative roles, instead of where they would be on the line. And it happens directly because, you know, there's so many individuals that are coming across. You see it in Texas, right? This is where a lot of the issues are. You see a lot of the groups that are coming across in Texas, they're turning themselves in. Agents are now having to transport them. They're having to process many times. If they're injured, they're having to take them to the hospital and they do hospital watches. But that takes them away from the areas that they're supposed to be patrolling the border, or it trims down the amount of officers that are able to be out there working. So that's what causes a lot of these issues constantly. And the drug cartels, they know exactly what they're doing. They've been doing it for a long time. They know that they can use this tactic in order to be able to bring their drugs across each and every time. So we're seeing it come across in record numbers. You know what's silly is just a couple of weeks ago, we heard the port of entry director, the guy in charge of the port of entry at the Nogales port of entry, and he said that the majority of the drugs are not coming in between the ports. They're coming at the ports of entry. So it kind of left me scratching my head going, well, you're the port director and you're admitting that the drugs are coming through your port. Maybe you should do something about it. But the reality is it's their agenda to twist the truth. And most of it is coming in between the ports of entries, in between and not at the ports. And it's caused because the drug dealers know exactly how to distract federal agents on the border.
Art, do you think that this is like, I know that there's what we call a humanitarian crisis, right? There's people are fleeing from other countries that they have least amount of opportunities or less opportunities than we do in the United States of America. But do you think it's something bigger? Like, do you think it's like a cartel scheme, meaning that the cartel is encouraging and wanting and needing these people to continue to flow to America because then they can do the human trafficking, the sex trafficking, and also the drugs. You know, that's a way for them to use the drugs to be introduced into the United States of America. Is this a thing where the cartel in Mexico is coordinating an effort to invade into America, or are they just taking advantage of a separate issue of an issue of people, you know, needing refuge and coming to America?
You know, it's about money to them, right? That's what it comes down to. It's about money. They're making, you know, so much money off of the drug trade right now. They're making so much money off of the human trafficking. And just put this into perspective. When you start looking at human trafficking, even under the Trump administration, they would charge, and I'm just going to go a low number, let's just say 5,000. We do know that it's more depending on what country they are from, but let's just say 5,000, right? So they would charge $5,000 to bring you into the United States illegally and then keep you at a stash house and then try to figure out how to get you into, you know, inner cities and other parts of the United States, all within what they were charging. Now, drug cartels are still charging that amount, but all they have to do is get them across the border, and then they tell these people, turn yourself in. Turn yourself in because the government will do the transporting for you, you know. So they're spending less money on their operation, and knowing that agents are preoccupied with this, they'll take the time to go ahead and start bringing drugs across the border. It's all about money, and the drug cartels, the human smugglers, the sex traffickers, they do not care who you voted for. They just want to get their products across. You know, they're bringing fentanyl into the school system, and, you know, they want kids to be addicted. They want kids to get involved in drugs, and it doesn't matter whether mom and dad voted Republican or Democrat. They just want to get their products across because they want their money.
Art, thank you so much for coming on, my man. Art DeCueto, he is the vice president of the National Border Patrol Council. Thank you, brother, for coming on and giving us some insight on BP and also that crazy coffee place in Tucson.
Thank you, partner. Anytime. I'm more than happy to.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it from Art himself. What a great guest to come on and explain some of these things.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Uncle Tom 2 is an eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Brandon Tatum here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America. The cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historic footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with yours truly, Vody Bachum and Chad O. Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got two articles that I wanted to read. The rapper PNB Rock, that was murdered out in L.A. at a Roscoe Chicken and Waffles. They found a suspect, but then I'm reading this article. It says, man implicated in PNB Rock murder clears his name. I haven't been able to read that article yet, but I read the first one. Maybe I'll go in succession and start with this first one. Said LAPD released a photo of the suspect in rapper PNB Rock's killing. Very, very unfortunate. Says LAPD investigated named a gentleman named Freddie Lee Trone, an African-American man, as the suspect in the deadly shooting. They believe that he approached the rapper, demanded his jewelry, and proceeded to shoot him several times in front of the rapper's girlfriend, along with terrified patrons and staff. Trone is considered to be armed and dangerous, and authorities are asking anyone who sees him to call 911. It said the department also confirmed a 17-year-old was arrested in a killing, but did not disclose any details. So the pretty much the 17-year-old was his son, and he literally robbed him for jewelry. And it says before the robbery, officials said Allen's girlfriend posted a couple's location, and a rapper also posted a video of him wearing expensive jewelry. L.A. Sheriff, Michael Moore, said they believe that the suspects saw the rapper and his girlfriend whereabouts and tracked him down and robbed and shot him. Crazy situation. Let me read this other article from the Rolling Stone magazine. It says the aftermath of the Philadelphia rapper PNB Rock murder in Los Angeles. Earlier this morning, a Minnesota man has come forward to clear his name after being implicated by the rapper's blogosphere. Emmanuel Danka, a.k.a. Southside Chief, is the Minnesota-based videographer and media personality who has a pair of Instagram Live arguing with PNB Rock over allegation stolen shirt design. Okay, I remember this. Okay, I see it. So this guy named Emmanuel, there is a circulation that he was the one that killed PNB Rock because him and PNB Rock were arguing on the live stream. PNB Rock said something crazy to him, and he said, well, look, I'm going to pull up. What's your location? You know, we can make this happen. You're going to regret what you said to me. And so he was pretty much threatening PNB Rock. And a lot of people on the social media had said that he was the one that killed him, but they actually found two suspects in the murder of PNB Rock. Why do I think this is important? I think these situations are important for two main reasons. One is that this person, PNB Rock, has a tremendous amount of influence. Being a rapper, young people watching him, young people following him, and then for him to get gunned down in cold blood fashion right there in L.A. is very heartbreaking for a lot of people. Leave a lot of people confused, angry, and some wanting to retaliate. So it has an incredible impact on a lot of people, the death of some of these rappers. I know when I was younger, I used to love Tupac. When he was murdered, it really had a tremendous effect on my life because I had been so consumed with his rap music and his personality. And to be honest, I wanted to be like Tupac. And so when he died, it had a significant impact on me. Whether it was right or wrong, it still had a significant impact. The second thing is, the crime in Los Angeles is absolutely out of control. People, not even just rappers like PNB, but people who are just everyday citizens walking through the city are getting robbed at gunpoint in broad daylight, no mask. No mask on. They call it bareface. They robbing people bareface. And I think that if we don't do something about law enforcement in these cities, it's going to only get worse. Now let's move to the drug deal. I mean, the drug game, the rap game industry. There is a saying or a rule of thumb that you don't go to California with your jewelry on as a rapper, because there's a certain, gang related push. I'm trying to say, I don't say heritage, but there's like a gang related trend. That's a better term, where you go to a city that you don't belong in order to test your manhood. People will, what they call, steal your chain. They'll snatch your chain. And that means that these rappers, you see them, they're wearing jewelry all around their neck and thick $100,000 pieces. When you go to somebody else's territory, when you go to another city that you don't belong in order for them to kind of punk you or take your manhood and show that you ain't as real as you say, they'll snatch your chain in front of you and make you take it off, all your jewelry. And that's exactly what I think happened to PNB, is that he's on there talking all that trash. He's posting online, boasting, and having his gold chain out. And these people who have nothing to lose will come and take your chain to prove that you ain't about that life. Now, why did he go and shoot the man multiple times? I don't know. I thought it was just him robbing for his chain, but I guess he wanted to murder him in addition. And I'll say this, and I hope people understand this. If we do not fix the issue of law enforcement, these places are going to be turned into a war zone. They're already worse than you think. Any city around the country is worse than you think. The city that you live in right now, when you go to sleep at night, people are killing and raping and robbing and abusing each other all night long. When you are in sleepy dream world, police officers are out there literally putting their life on the line all night long because there's an underbelly of criminal activity in society and evilness and hatred and all of those traits that contribute to violence is lingering as the underbelly of society. Normal people don't really get exposed to it because you're at work, you go home, you live in a nice community, you live in a safe community. But a lot of the people who live in these impoverished communities, they see it every day. They hear the gunshots all night. I'll never forget being in Tucson. I said, this is a pretty safe town. You know, I was right on campus. I lived on campus for a little bit. Then I moved a little slightly off campus to a really nice neighborhood. But we used to always think, man, it's really safe in Tucson. This is a decent, safe place. Oh, no. When I became a cop, I was absolutely shocked. I was absolutely shocked at the amount of suicides, murders, violence, domestic violence, mental illness, drug dealing, drug ODs. It was mind-blowing at how much work we got in the city of Tucson. When the average person that lives there is thinking, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not that much going on. It's way more stuff that's going on and never hit the news that you don't hear about. Like you had a kid that, I'll never forget this kid that ended up crashing at a pole at 80 miles per hour. It's not newsworthy. Maybe a little snippet of it, but people don't really hear all about it. But that's happening multiple times a month. People dying in car accidents. So, you know, we have to get the underbelly of society corralled in and held accountable, so that the people who are outside of that realm can actually live a more prosperous and more effective life, and these communities can become safer. Therefore, they can redeem or get investments and build and give opportunities. And these are the things that I push every day in my content, talking about these issues. And some people don't want to hear it because it's coming from a black conservative. But I'm here to try to help employ to people that it's more serious than you give it credit for. You know, most of us, we love police officers, so we all for it. We understand, we get it. But there's a huge population of people that don't get it. And that's really driving us down a point of confusion and derangement. Now I'm going to switch gears real quick because I want to talk about another cultural issue, the girl Lizzo. Now, we don't have Lizzo's clip, and you couldn't see it anyway because you guys listen to it on the radio. But she's literally at an award ceremony taking a historic fluke. I think the fluke was from like 200 years ago. Or from the fourth president of the United States. It was the fluke that I guess he owned or he used. And they gave it to her to play on stage. James Madison. Okay, I don't remember which number they are. James Madison. His fluke. They give it to her on stage. And what does she do? What does Big Mama House do? She started twerking. Now, I don't understand how Lizzo is being so popular like she is. And I don't understand how our culture is supporting somebody like that. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
Got a whole bunch of people calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Let me see who's been holding the longest. Let me get to Alexander. Alexander out of California. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Well, I finally got through. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate everything you're doing for us. And I just wanted to tell everyone, the GOP party and everyone else that may be in the media, to get the word out that don't fall for, you know, the mail-in ballots again for voting this midterm. This is very critical for the country, and that we should be voting in person, cast that ballot at the polling place instead of taking the chance on the mail-in ballots being counted properly.
Alexander, thank you so much for calling in. I agree with you 1,000%, and I hope that everybody listening hear this, because even when we get the ballots mailed to our house or whatever the case, we fill it out, but we go and turn it in person. Therefore, you can assure that it gets to at least the point of the ballot box. Now, and maybe they'll count it and do something crazy with it there, but at least you limit sending it through the mail and them taking it and manipulating or never even getting it at all, throwing your stuff in the trash can. At least you can see that you at least put your ballot in that box and you watched it be counted. So I think Alexander had a really, really, really good point in saying that we need to be mindful of going and mailing in person. Paul from Dallas, Texas, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to reference a broadcast from last week when you referenced a broadcast from the week before when you were discussing the LGBT pride flag at churches, and you equated that flag with a pedophile flag. That equation is appropriate because it's factual. The LGBT made that equation. The LGBT is about eliminating the concept of the age of consent and mainstreaming pedophilia. Minor attracted person, MAP, a classification, an acronym, like it's nothing, to numb us to the idea of mainstreaming pedophilia. If the LGBT complained, that's a badge of honor for you. Because just like you had in the previous segment with the ADF, the LGBT defines hate by disagreeing with them or anything that doesn't validate them completely. This is the seventh time you've had me on the air. You're generous with your callers. You've been very generous to me to let me speak on your program. And then when I'm done, you say kind things about what I've said. And I just wanted to be clear that I'm just amplifying on things that you had already said. The important thing is that you can say it in a simple sentence that can have profound meanings. You have a knack for cutting to the truth. And what's most important is that you have the courage to say the truth when it takes courage to say the truth. Larry Elder's been doing that for a long time. But this speaks to your ability to inspire and to lead. So please don't think you need $1 billion or even a tiny fraction of it. Those abilities will always be your greatest assets. And in that spirit, my point today is to ask you to lead where, to my knowledge, you're relatively new in the media, and to lead even the giants of the conservative media and even the sage himself. And I make that reference with utmost respect, to lead all the sages, old and young, in the conservative media, because they are not carrying the message about the sexual terrorism of the LGBT by indoctrination, grooming, and recruitment of children. They are not carrying the message about the LGBT war on children. The LGBT has long waged a war on children, and it's worldwide. The transgender T is the natural product, the result of the LGB, which produced it. The LGB is inseparable from the T and vice versa. And the T, transgender, terrorizes and robs the innocence of children, robs the rights and responsibilities of their parents, inhibits the normal, natural development of children, and chemically and surgically mutilates the bodies of children. And the one who purports to be president of the United States tells us that the transgender atrocity is the civil rights issue of our time. Mm. The Biden administration and its depraved, corrupt military establishment are complicit in the LGBT war on children. So is the medical association, the American Medical Association, many in the medical profession who profit by the billions from the LGBT war on children. So is Big Pharma, Big Tech, the American Library Association, the United Nations, and just about every other entity, public and private, including some parents who abuse their own children by it. And even
right,
President
Paul,
Trump,
I got 30 seconds.
Into well, it's just to say that the LGBT has all the money there is on earth. They can be in the business of buying souls, and it's a buyer's market. But we, through the media, can win hearts and minds by the millions.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
I want to jump. Callers, I want y'all to hold real quick. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to make sure I get you. But if you didn't think that our president, I don't even like to call him president because they cheated. But if you didn't think that our president was as dumb as a bag of rocks that flunked the first grade, then listen to what he did, and then listen to Jean-Pierre try to explain away how this man, who's the president, is calling for a dead person in the audience. He literally don't know this woman is dead. It reminds me of when he was caught telling the man, hey, stand up. Stand up, man. Stand up and get the, dude's in a wheelchair. Come on, Joe Biden. Why are you calling for this representative if she's dead? And you don't know she's dead. Your people didn't tell you she's dead. Matter of fact, you probably dead. You don't know what's going on in the world, and people think that this dude will run for president again and beat Donald Trump. I just can't see it. Let's roll clip one of Joe Biden asking for Jackie, and she's not there.
Including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie?
I think she
was going to be here to help make this.
I don't want to laugh at that, but my God. Jackie, oh, I don't think she's supposed to be here. She's
Chuck
gone Ryan, on with the Lord.
Here. Chuck, stand up, Chuck. Let him see you. Oh, God love you. What am I talking about? I tell you what, you're making everybody else stand up, though, pal. Thank you very, very much. I tell you what, stand up for Chuck.
Since he's in a wheelchair. Okay, but I wanted y'all to listen to Jean-Pierre, you know, literally talking circles trying to defend the stupidity of Joe Biden. Roll clip two.
Sorry, I have to do this, but I'm compelled to ask you to go one more time back to the question about Congresswoman Walorski.
I'm not sure why. Why? Why one more time?
Frankly, honestly, I think the memory of the Congresswoman in history requires some clarity here. Can you explain where the mistake was made? Was the president confused? Was something written in the teleprompter that he didn't recognize? Can you just help us understand what happened?
I mean, you're jumping to a lot of conclusions. No, I hear you, Stephen. I'm answering the question that you're jumping to a lot of conclusions. I just answered the question. If that had been the case, I would have stated that, right? I would clearly have stated what you just laid out. What I had said is that she was on top of mind. And that he is going to see her family in just 2 days' time on Friday to honor her work.
She was on the top of his mind. I have never seen something like this in my life. I have never seen somebody with so many gaffes. This girl said the dead congressmember was on the top of his mind. If you're going to visit this woman's parents in a few weeks or whatever it is, and she's on the top of your mind, wouldn't her being dead be on the top of your mind? What are you even saying? All right, I'm going to run out of time. Let me go with clip three, and then I'll cut it so I can go to the end of the segment. Let's roll clip three real quick.
What happened in the hunger event today? The president appeared to look around the room for an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month. He seemed to indicate she might be in the room. What happened?
So the president was, as you all know, you guys were watching today's event, a very important event on food insecurity. The president was naming the congressional champions.
All right, I'm gonna cut her off. We'll let her get back in the next segment.
Is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. People are calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Let me go with Mario. Mario from Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
LGBTQ community, why they don't go to the Islamic bakeries or the Islamic pizzerias? You ever wonder why they don't do that? That they pick on the Christians who they know will not retaliate against them?
Right. I know. You hit the nail on the head. I know exactly why they don't do it.
Yeah, so do I. That makes them cowards. And they're not after a cake or a pizza that says a certain thing. They're after the Christians. They're after destroying them. They are cowards. And be honest with you, they're also weird looking. And by the way, to our listeners, don't be prompted into any violence by this president and the DOJ, because that's exactly what they're looking for. Go vote, and if you see anything suspicious, bring it to someone's attention, because these people are beneath contempt. They are the scum of the barrel. All of them. They stole this election, and they're going to try like hell to do it again.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you. Oh, Mario, I'm sorry. Not Paul, Mario. Thank you, Mario. I really appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, he couldn't have said it any better than that. You know, these people are you know, their agenda has been set. They do not want to get a cake made. And we already know the people with the cake baker thing situation. They had already set up to do this to Christian people all over the country, you know. And just like the guy from ADF said, they don't want us to coexist together. They want to force you to adopt their principles. You can't, because you can't just be a Christian and they hate Christianity. You can't just exist together. They need to make you agree with them. That's just like you being a Christian and you saying, "Oh, it's not okay. My neighbor is Jewish. They need to be Christians. We got to go over there and shame them into being Christians, because they can't just live and let live." And we all know what the truth is, and it bothers me that we let them get away with it. And it's the same thing about the situation I was talking about earlier with the coffee shop. We cannot let them get away with this. We cannot let them shame our brothers and sisters who wear the uniform and not want to give them coffee and telling them, go get your effing coffee from Donald Trump, and humiliating them and kicking them out of a store. Your effing store will be shut down. I hate that the liberals do this to us. You in a store, you a store owner, black man walk in, slip and fall and bust his head on the floor, had nothing to do with you. He go out and complain racism, and they go and throw Molotov cocktails through your window. They try to get you off of Yelp. Michael Lindell tells the truth about the election, and they ban him from these retail places. People are afraid of what liberals will do. And I'm not encouraging anybody to go burn nothing down, because that's not going to help anything. Because, you know, when you burn a place down, they use the insurance money and they go build back better. And we know ain't nothing building back better that says build back better. But what you can do is you can say, make people aware that this is the practice of this particular company. This is the practice. This is the stance of people who hate Border Patrol agents. The men and women who are going out and protecting our borders on a day-to-day basis. And to top it all off, the girl that talked trash to the two Hispanic female Border Patrol agents was a white woman. These white liberals want a virtue signal on behalf of what they think Hispanic people care about, and going to disrespect those two Border Patrol agents. I am ticked. I literally want to go down there and protest in front of their building. However, on my YouTube channel, when I make this video, and all their stuff is public record, I want people to let them know as much as they can how they feel about their treatment of the Border Patrol agents. They deleted the post because they got backlash from the left, not because of what we did. And I feel like people need to protest there. People need to boycott that location and let everybody in the world know this is where they stand. You're not going to hide behind your liberal virtue signaling. This is where they stand. Go screw yourself. And I wish to God that police wouldn't even respond to that location. I wish that could be the case. You want to disrespect men and women in the uniform? Then let's not respond. When they come rob you, don't call nobody. Just take it like a, get your liberals to come help you with the ones that had no guns. Anyway, let me move on. K Kathy from California, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi, Brandon. I was calling about the lady that Biden was calling for in the audience to, you know, stand up or give her some kudos, who had passed away in August in the car accident. I heard a radio announcement this morning, and they actually played a clip of Biden giving public condolences to the lady's family. And I'm sorry, I forget her name, but to her family, from both him and his wife. And I just thought it was crazy. It's insane that this, it's scary that this man is running our country.
Yeah, 100%, Kathy. I agree with you 1,000%, and thank you for the call. Yeah, I mean, this ain't the first time, though. He don't know where he's going. He can't get off stage. He can't navigate anything. He got his hand hanging out, hoping that the boogeyman is going to shake his hand. And you know, I don't understand. Like this is the worst case scenario for Joe Biden. He's just getting exposed as an old, decrepit man. He don't remember anything. He could have possibly been at the lady's funeral, and he don't remember she's dead. And he's running our country. It's crazy as heck. And I can't see how a person who voted for him is feeling proud right now. I cannot fathom it.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. You can call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I'm compelled to continue. See, I wish I had a TV screen that I could see what's going on in Florida, because I want to give you guys some updated information about what's going on, but I can't really watch it while I'm on the radio too much. But I know that I've seen pictures, and we got to keep the people of Florida in our prayers. And I'll tell you this, in no way, form, or fashion do I believe that it has anything to do with climate change. I was on an interview with a young lady earlier today, and she had asked me, she said, well, you know, what do you think about climate change? And I said, well, look, I have a few theologies about it, because there's no consensus amongst climatologists. I think I'm saying that right. Climatologists. There's no consensus. Some believe that there's absolutely nothing that we're doing that can affect climate change or global warming or whatever the term they want to use now to trick you. And then there's some that believe that it is so. They both have credential degrees. I don't understand how somebody can just say, I'm going to pick one side over the other. And then I use this thing that's, it's very rare today. It is a rare commodity, and it's called common sense. I use common sense to then decipher what do I believe, because the two sides are opposing. I listen to both sides, and obviously the side that seems more reasonable to me is that it's no way in the world that we're having a tremendous effect that's going to change the weather of the globe. When you got to think, we only been driving cars and producing the emissions that we've been doing for the last 100 years. You know, according to these scientists, the world has been around for billions of years. And somehow in 100 years, we're going to make it inhabitable for human beings. But it was totally fine before we created cars. And you know, like when you look at it, if you ever flown in an airplane and you go up in the sky, you're at 30,000 feet. You're like, is there no way that human beings on that little pocket of earth right here, and a couple cars driving in a circle, is going to somehow impact the entire world? I mean, most of the world is water. There's no there is no carbon emission over water. So you're saying the majority of the world is water. The majority of the landmass is not occupied. How many cars are driving around the continent of Africa, which is the biggest continent in the world by far? How many cars are driving around the continent of Africa? That's the biggest landmass that is not emitting carbon emissions. America, which is a smaller territory compact with people, are putting out carbon emissions. But you got to look at Canada. Canada is a huge landmass that's not saturated with people. So when you look at these areas in the North Pole and South Pole, I mean, you look at these areas and you say, how is this small amount of carbon emission in the atmosphere is going to change the Earth that drastically in that short a period of time? It's unbelievable. And so when people ask me about climate change, I say, I just think it's bull crap. And I think I said this. I did it really good on that girl's show. Like, I said some stuff I've never said before. But when I look at it, I say, well, also, if you don't have all of the scientific backing to it, just look at the way they respond to this stuff. A reasonable response, if they were correct and climate change was real, a reasonable response would be to encourage to have commercials, advertisement about why electric cars are better than gas cars. And then compete, put in the market electric vehicles that are competitive with gas cars. So that leaves people no choice that they can easily go to an electric car and not lose any sleep. That would be the normal approach. Let the market dictate. But no, they want to get rid of competition for electric cars. They want to get rid of it and then force you to have to drive one. That's where you lose me. It's just like the vaccine. If vaccines really worked, hypothetically speaking, just say it really worked and it was for everybody. They don't have to make you. They can encourage you. They can put out real information and true information, and people who are taking a vaccine can be living witnesses and testimony to how effective it is. But they don't want to do that. They want to make you take it. It's a telltale sign. If something is good, you don't have to force it. You know, if you have good product, it'll sell itself. If you have bad product, you got to have people pitching their soul to sell your product because it's not that good. And I feel like that's the same thing about global warming. They flying around in jets and talking about, oh, the planet is, and they flying around in jets everywhere they go, burning gas. Like they say, they got a V12 Mercedes in their garage, 6 or 7 other cars, they're all gas guzzlers. Do you think that Gavin Newsom don't have a Ferrari? You think he don't have a Ferrari in his house? You think he don't have a Lambo? A Bentley truck? I guarantee you he does. I guarantee you he does. Oh, but global warming. Well, then walk everywhere. Ride a bike where you need to go. But no, you're not going to do that because it's rules for thee and not for me. You're flying your private jets to Martha's Vineyard and flying it to Napa Valley. But global warming is bad. It's just like the idiot said when Gavin Newsom, when he's saying we're going to have all electric cars by 2040-something or 30-something. And I say, that's interesting, because a little bit of heat wave came through California and he's begging residents to turn their power down because it's too much stress on a system. Too much stress on a system because of a 3 or 4 day heat wave. You having to get on and make a public service announcement to tell people to turn their AC units to 78 degrees. And then it gets worse, ladies and gentlemen. Then they have the LA Rams play a football game in a stadium that's generating more juice per minute than entire communities of people in their household. Think about how much juice the air conditioning unit is pushing in a facility with 70,000 people in it. I mean, dude, you can't make this stuff up. So if they were more genuine and they had an authentic approach, yeah, I would believe them. But the way they do it, you know they fake. Let me see. Let me go to Sean in California. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, that's good to hear. You might not like me too much. I'm probably on the other side of the opinion on things, but I like your show. I like listening every now and then.
Well, I like you then. I like you then.
Yeah, like you actually played football at the University of Arizona at the same time I ran track at the University of Southern California. So good to talk to somebody from the Pac-10 back in the day.
Yes, yes. Awesome.
Yeah, but, you know, all things aside, I was wondering if you just might be able to share information about where people can go if they're wanting to make, you know, a contribution to help out with Florida. with flood relief, go to redcross.org, you know, just something, you know, to help the people down near that area, especially if they're going to be affected, you know, for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's great. That's great, Sean. Good idea. Tomorrow, I'm going to try to find reputable organizations that I know are doing tremendous work and that we could trust. And then, you know, I'll think about, you know, giving some information like that for sure. I think that's a great, great idea.
For sure. Like any, you know, news outlet or anybody where they can get the latest updates helps a lot. I'll sling it from my end as well. NPR always puts out some local updates as well. But honestly, we're all in it together. Cajun Navy is going in to do some rescues and some great work down there. I spent 10 years in the Army, especially in the reserves. There's a lot of National Guard units down there currently working to help people out. They always need support as well. So anything goes a long way.
Perfect. Thank you, Sean. And I don't want you to think I don't like you, man. I never met you before, so I'm not. I don't dislike you unless you do something crazy. But I appreciate you calling in.
Hey, take it easy, man, all right?
All right, you too. Yeah, you know, the difference between, I think, conservatives and far leftists is that you can disagree with me and I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Some, you know, people in my family voted for Joe Biden. I ain't disown them. You know, that's funny. That's funny that, you know, the gentleman said that. You know, and I know he's just probably just, you know, saying that he's kind of probably nervous jumping on the radio. But, you know, it's funny that, like, I know people that voted for Clinton and I don't even really care. It ain't that serious. Like, you have a different opinion than I have and you lost. So it's not like I'm mad at you. And even in this election, like, if you voted for Joe Biden, I obviously think that was the dumbest decision you could have ever done. But I'm not mad. I'm not going to. You can't come to the family dinner and you're no longer the person I thought you were. It's like, look, I just disagree with you politically. The funny thing is, I don't know why liberals can't really do that. Leftists can't really do that a lot with conservatives. It's almost like they can't stand somebody disagreeing with them. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
People are calling in off the chain. 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. Let me go with Tony from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Officer Tatum, been following your YouTube channel for over a year now, and thank you for your service. I'm a law fan.
I appreciate it, Tony. Thank you so much.
Want to push back with you just a little bit on the DeSantis versus Trump situation that we have here. One thing that we need to think about is that Trump may change his mind and not run at all. So we need to be vetting someone else that may have the possibility of being put on that ticket. The Dems are desperate right now. They're like a cornered animal. They may do something illegal or try to set up Trump or frame him. God forbid, they may try to even assassinate the guy. But we better have a backup plan. And I was happy to hear that you have Lieutenant Colonel West in the movie Uncle Tom 2, because we're pushing for Lieutenant Colonel Allen West to be a good running mate for Mr. DeSantis. Now, the Dems might say, well, that's you guys. You guys have a token. You got your token on there. Well, so is Kamala Harris and so is Ketanji Brown.
Right.
At least our person of color will be qualified to do the job. Now, we have a website that's pushing for Mr. DeSantis and showing why we think he would make a great candidate. Is it okay to say it on the air for you?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. It's called AmericaForDeSantis24.com. America, F-O-R, for DeSantis and the number 24. AmericaForDeSantis24.com.
That's cool, Tony. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, I agree with, you know, my thing is that I'm a Trump guy, right? I like Trump. But Tony makes a really good point, because we better be considering. We can't just put all our ducks in one basket and then Trump goes to jail or something. And then we like, oh, we don't even have another candidate, and we're going to focus all of our attention on Trump, and then we're going to miss our opportunity. So I do think that we should be, you know, in my opinion, we should be supporting Trump if he's going to run. He's the incumbent, and, you know, he deserved to be in a position. He should have been the president this year, but they cheated him. But also, we have to be mindful of DeSantis and other people just in case something goes astray. We have to be open-minded to those things. You know, I do think that I would pick Trump over DeSantis. I like DeSantis more than Trump, but I'll pick Trump over DeSantis as the president because I just like DeSantis' decorum. I like the way he speaks. I think he's very, very intelligent. He's young. He's aspiring. And Donald Trump do some crazy stuff sometimes, and he talks in circles sometimes because he's much older. However, the man went into the Oval Office and did his thing in 2016 all the way through to 2020. And so I appreciate it. I appreciate the sacrifice that Trump made, and I personally feel like I owe it to him to support him if he runs again for the president of the United States of America. But we do need to keep our eyes open, and I love Colonel Allen West. You know, I wanted Colonel Allen West to be the president, but I just feel like he don't have enough name recognition. He don't have enough, backing for him to make it to president, because I think he ran for governor or maybe senator governor in the state of Texas, and he didn't get really no votes. I mean, you know, he didn't get a lot of attention. And if you ask me, if you match him up to anybody, he is probably one of the most qualified, one of the smartest, most bold, courageous, genuine people that I have ever met. I really wish Colonel Allen West would be put in that position. And you know somebody else I like is Mark Robinson. Like, some people might not know Mark Robinson. I think he's I forget what his position is in North Carolina. Maybe he is North Carolina. Man, I'll be forgetting. But I met Mark Robinson. He's always inspiring. He do not hold back. I literally, in my headquarters, I'm going to put a sign on a bathroom that says, "Ain't but two genders." Because that's what he said. He was preaching at a church. He said, "There ain't but two genders." And I wish I can play the recording of his voice when people go towards the bathroom to know there ain't but two genders. And so I like him, man. It's a lot of aspiring people, but there's a battle between, are you aspiring and talented, or can you have enough leverage, have enough support and money to win? And that's why I think Donald Trump takes over. I only got 1 minute. Let me try to get somebody in 1 minute. Rob from Long Beach, California. I have 1 minute, Rob.
Hello. Stephen, glad to talk to you. I was just thinking, it's not in the news anymore, but thing with Trump.
I got 30 seconds, Rob. I got 30 seconds. Can you give it to me in 30 seconds?
Yes. The 3 months before that, they had a team down there checking them out and doing things. I think they just took a lot of notes down and went back to their Trump cronies in Washington and said, here's what we can rob, reclassify, let's go get them.
Yep, I agree with you, Rob. Thank you so much for calling in 100%. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
Let me get Jeff in. Jeff from Sacramento, California. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hello, I'm glad to be on here. There's probably more than I can even get on here, but there was two things I wanted to hit on. Maybe I won't have time to get to the second one. One was abortion. The second is, you know, the transgender, homosexuality, all that stuff. But, yeah, the first on abortion, it came to me, I don't know, at least 2-3 years ago, you know, that the left is worse than any, they are a cult. They're worse than any satanic cult. Because with abortion, they've killed, I'm sure, way more than any satanic cult, all the satanic cults combined. They've killed more than Hitler, more than Putin, and even more than Stalin, who it's estimated he killed anywhere from, or had killed, anywhere from 30 to 60 million people. Well, they've killed over 63 million now. That makes them more, I thought about putting a sign on the back of my truck that says, hey, liberals or Democrats, are you celebrating that you have now surpassed even Stalin on how many people that you've killed through abortion? And I've also thought about putting on the back of my truck, abort the lies in your heart, not the babies in the womb.
Right, you know?
And it's a crime against these babies and against the heart of God. And what about a psychopath or a sociopath that has no regret, no remorse? I mean, thank God for the women that, you know, that have turned and have had abortions, but then they repented, they turned, they regretted, hallelujah. But all these ones that are saying, my body, my choice, are they going to say that on Judgment Day or in hell? No, their mouths are going to be silenced. They're not going to be saying that to God on Judgment Day, because we're all going to die and we belong to God. The earth is the Lord's and everything therein. And our bodies really do not belong to us. They belong to God.
I agree 1,000%. Jeff, thank you so much for calling in. God bless you. I like the reference to God. And, you know, it's funny because people always say, Brandon, you know, that's amazing that, you know, you talk about God a lot in your content. And it's like, well, I'm a Christian, so what do you expect me to do? I guess, unfortunately, people who say they're Christians are not really convinced that they're Christians. You know, and I don't want to go down this path, but I feel like I need to just go down this path real quick. I really do hope that we as Christians would really get in the face of God. When I say get in the face of God, meaning building a personal relationship. There's so many people out here who are completely lost, and they say that they're Christians, and they don't know what it means to be a Christian. And how do you know that, Mr. Tatum? I see it every day, and I used to be that person. I used to be the person that said, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, and I ain't even read the Bible. And so I think more of us that build our relationship, we can affect the change in a more, I would say, a more effective way to other people. It's about self-building. And when your self is built up, you can also build other people. If you're broken, you know, you're going to just break other people. And there's a saying that says, hurt people hurt people. That's exactly what it is. And save people save people. You know what I mean? So there's a method to this. And I've been to churches all over the country. I've spoken to people who are a part of the church. I see people on social media all the time. And I have to say that there's only a few people that have a true connection. And it's because they have a real genuine relationship. They worship God. They praise God. They read the Bible, and they have a relationship outside of Sunday morning church. Because Sunday morning church is cute, is cool, but you know, when the rubber hit the road, Sunday morning church ain't gonna be enough for you to make it. And I'll say this, because a lot of Christians are so quick to back down. They back down. They don't stand up for truth. They're afraid to even talk about Jesus. They're afraid to stand up on their Christian principles. Like, they have to be afraid. They don't want to tell their friends they're Christians because they don't want to be labeled. It's like, at some point, you got to stand up and say, I am who I am. And if you don't like it, too bad. It ain't my business. It ain't my fault. But anyway, let me get a couple more people in here that are calling in, 844-900-7243. Let me go with Steve from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Officer Tatum, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Of course you are. You damn right you are. Yes. And your last caller, he is blessed. He knows the calling, right? The calling that some of us are fortunate enough to get, the calling from God. And I would like to say to him and every other person who has just been struck with the calling, it is overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And we need to calm down about the calling. And that's what I call him to do, is just calm down about the calling. I've been through this before. And try to speak slow and calm. And you have to calm your own person, too. So sometimes but sometimes some people with a certain psychopathic thing going on in their brain think that means that God's telling them to do something very, very radical that's against the law. And conservatives don't do that. We don't do that. We don't do that. We speak out, and we we speak our voice, and we do it in a calm, cool, collective way that makes the other side look like fools. And that's what I want to say to that last caller. Calm down, man. Not calm down, man, but I understand where you're coming from. Jesus is an overwhelming influence to me. But I've learned how to condition it into something that's helpful for society,
Steve,
and for God's purpose.
Steve, thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you for the card.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Worked all week, cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got the cover off the 68. Fired it up and let them horses sing. A little pretty thing, a little tan leg Georgia dream. But she's rocking them holy jeans.
This is the Baby, Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Be a party out of town about half
by
a
half
mile. Four wheel drives and big mud tires.
Bus
get down wine. Oh, baby,
you can find me. On the Officer Tatum Show next week. No, I'm just playing. I got a whole week to go. Anyway, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I love country music. Even though I'm black, I love country music. Don't judge me. What was I talking about? I was getting into... Oh, yeah, the last caller. I didn't know what he was talking about. I think he was listening to somebody else's show. He's telling the other caller to calm down. I feel like the other caller was too calm. Not unless the caller that called in was actually talking about me thinking I was a caller. Anyway... But I think that it's invaluable for us to remember and abide in our faith and be strong and courageous and bold in our faith. Don't be ashamed to just say it. You know what I learned? And I learned this alongside being a conservative. Actually, I learned it about Christianity first, and then being a conservative kind of validated it, is that when you speak out and you tell the truth, not your truth, but the truth, you know, it may be adverse, or you may find some adversity in the beginning, but as time goes along, God will work it out for you. When I came out about Trump, and I was like, man, Trump ain't even a bad dude. I like what I heard from the rally. People hated me. People in my church, they hated me. But you know what? Now I have millions of people that love me. I replaced a couple hundred people with millions of people who got my back, who believed the same thing I believe, who's in my corner. So losing 100 to gain 2 million or gain millions, it's worth the risk. Same thing with your faith and same thing with your convictions. Don't be afraid of the unknown. And you can see it because a lot of us have experienced it. When you go out and you tell the truth, it's going to work out good for you. It may be a little rocky in the beginning. Maybe you lose people that you thought were really your friends, and that's going to hurt a little bit. But after a while, you're going to start weaving through these clowns and people that should have never been in your life, and God is going to send you people who are going to make you better, who are going to challenge you to become the best version of yourself. So don't be afraid of being yourself. God has given you a DNA strand. He's given you fingerprints that only you have. You are an individual person with a calling on your life that's just as important as anybody else in the world. And so you need to take advantage of your personal calling. How do you find out what my calling is, Brandon? I don't know which direction to go. Pursue God first, and all of these things will fall into place. Don't pursue your own goals. Pursue the kingdom of God, and then all of these blessings will then trail after you, and there will be no question at the end. But I love you guys. I appreciate you listening to the Officer Tatum Show. I will catch you tomorrow, same time.
Get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find peace at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some Skinner and some old hay.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Yeah. three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.